Hey, everybody. It hasn't been that long, and we're back. Man, it feels better recording a little longer form shows, I think. He is Clarkson.
Hi.
I am Jim. Hi. Together, we are one of the longest-running independent film podcasts in the world. We are the Film Folks.
Barbaric Melon.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Man. In figuring out what we were going to do this week, it was a very simple conversation. Well, we've done Batman. Why not do Superman?
Why not?
Yeah. And I'm going to do a joke that is just for Clarkson and Owen. They're probably the only ones that will get it right off the bat, but others might. But I'm going to do an impression of what Owen's going to sound like in about 25 minutes.
Hey, yo. Stop being such a mark for Superman. Me and Big Kev were in the back, and we just want to let you know that we don't care.
Nice finish. Can't wait to kick out of it. You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. You want a war?
Mang.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
The minute I said that, like, oh, damn. Quit being such a mark for Superman.
Motherfucker, it's not all about you. That's Kevin.
Yep.
Hey, yo.
Fuck it. It's fucking fake, you know?
Yeah, hey.
Fuck it. It's Kevin. Fuck it. Yeah, I flew into Tampa. Took the 190 out to La Quinta. It's got a show and he's attached.
Hey, yo. But yeah, I think if there's anything, any individual.
Survey
in the world,
time.
If there was any individual in the world that Clarkson might be accused of marking out to too much, it is Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only. Yeah. Individual that one could claim you mark out.
Oh yeah,
entirely.
Of course,
too.
Of yeah. course. No shame.
Yeah, no shame. And it's an easy to understand why. And let's talk about this. What makes Superman great? And what's weird is how if you look at it, Superman embodies the evolution of superhero because he is the evolution. But looking back at the origin, the first Superman,
the bald guy. The Superman?
Yeah, oh, God. So the first Superman where he fights a wife beater and stops like a bank robbery, right?
Yeah.
Like, wait. Not that those two things shouldn't happen.
Right.
But I'm going to ask you a question here. What separates, what adds the word demi to the god of Superman?
What adds
what,
to it?
Yeah, what makes what when he adds became... that word demi? What makes him not a god? What makes him a demigod and not an actual god?
Oh, his upbringing.
His upbringing, basically. Yeah, yeah. That's about it.
That's
other
it.
Other than that, he is a living fucking god.
Yeah, it's a fucking sun god.
If he can stop a wife beater, then I think maybe another god might be able to.
You would think. That's why he's here, right?
If he can take time out of his busy fucking schedule. And I mean, that guy's got a column to write.
I mean, technically, his house name is the House of God.
Yeah.
It's not Elohim, but it's fucking close.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
The House of...
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the character from its comic book origins of just being able to jump and being kind of tough and... whatever,
yeah,
to what he is now.
Which, first off, the fact that the House of L is not a team on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm not sure there isn't a House of L.
Yeah, that
there's a House of almost everything else.
Yeah, House of L just would make sense.
You would think. it's probably there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're not going to fuck around with the TV shows. I thought about it, but there's so much of it, and a lot of it is shit.
Yeah, and the parts of it that are good are like,
it's fine.
I mean, the old black and white one was, you know, it was so of its time where out of shape, in shape guy of the 50s, like fat guy could put like, wow, look at that big stomach on that muscular man.
Yeah, really.
Like, wow.
I mean, the Fleischer comics are still my probably my favorite
right.
of like animated stuff because uh-huh. they're just so fucking classic.
Oh yeah, yeah. And those are the ones that were like the really old kind of almost film, not film story, like newsreely
yes.
animated ones yes. with that.
The black shield, yellow S.
Yeah, yes. That really distinct, almost dirty water animated look.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost looks watercolored.
It's just fucking great.
Yeah, well, it looks so much like newsprint.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's great, great shit. But the movie stuff, you know, the first quote-unquote superhero movie, Superman the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, so early that it had to be called the movie.
The movie, yeah. Yeah.
Like, the movie.
That concept of, well, they're okay, sure. Yeah. I mean, well, and if you think about it, the first Batman, the movie.
Right, I mean, right.
It was
that's
so
true.
Early on that, yeah. but I mean, again, that goes to the point.
Yeah.
It was such a rarity for that they had to specify yeah. it. Yeah, so yeah. it's Superman, the movie, which still, it's difficult to challenge it on any other film version of Superman.
I'd say, despite some, you know, the turning back of time being the most like,
yeah,
what issue of Superman 1. Other than that,
yeah,
kind of unfuckwithable.
Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Reeve is
just so on point.
So on point. He was and will always be my Superman.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well, because he plays Clark Kent so well.
Yeah,
and Superman so different. Like you can point at the. Yeah, Clark Kent always has a very, like, but Superman, like, he plays them both so differently in everything from the way they talk.
Way he walks, the way he holds his head, and the way he talks, yeah.
All of it is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fly.
Yes.
He belongs.
In the sky.
In the sky. That scene has never made a goddamn bit of sense
it
to me.
It makes no, it's up there with. It's almost Scrooge with Albert Finney.
Yeah.
With Sir Alec Guinness flying him around. Look, all of these spirits around you. Like, why are we singing to each other? What's going on?
Yeah, why does...
what? I mean, for better or worse, Superman the movie sets the template for every other Superman depiction on film after this.
It really does, yeah.
Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get into my central premise of what they're missing in the movies later, or at least what I would do if I were tapped to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is always people wowing at what Superman can do.
Yes.
Now, they come out of the gate with Superman 1 by throwing all of the money at it.
Yes.
Which is key because you have people like Marlon Brando, even if he's reading his fucking cue cards instead of Krypton. Terrence Stamp, all those people, they set up the first two movies with the beginning of the first one. Mm-hmm. So you already know, fuck you, we're going to do more than one.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to front load it so much that matters to this picture.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Because it's weird, we're acting like this is sort of a newer thing, but like, realize Dr. No was made knowing that the next one was going to be From Russia with Love. From Russia with Love was made knowing the next one was going to, like, they set shit up and they know what they're planning if they're able to move ahead with it.
Yeah.
Because that's always the big caveat, are we going to be able to?
Right.
And this, it's set up so serious, it's set up like, oh, we're going for real with this. Look at the people we've got from, oh God, who was the editor? Was it? I see his face, but I can't.
Perry,
yeah,
the Perry. Actor. I can't remember the actor's name. He was a Hollywood staple.
Yeah, it's like you were getting people to show we're actually taking this shit seriously. Mm. Margot Kidder was worked with fucking De Palma all the time.
Right.
She was much more art house at that
very
time.
Much.
And
this huge cast of capable actors, which will go into my point later, of it's not just Superman in the world. It has to be Superman in the people, his immediate circle, and the wider chosen circle that he finds himself around with, surrounded with, that matter. And they can't just be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some of the shows always fall on their ass a little, because they don't have the budget or the casting or whatever, or not the vision to make the ensemble,
right,
which is more important to a Superman movie than, say, a Batman.
Yes.
Batman, you've got to get Batman right, and you got to get Alfred right, and you got to get a villain right. And after that, Gordon, is it good to have a fucking heavy hitter like Gary Oldman? Yeah, it's great.
Yes, but...
But it's not necessary. You know, clearly not.
I mean, they had J.K. Simmons play him, barely fucking used him.
Yeah.
Barely used him. See, what irritates me with Superman is when they fuck with the side characters. Like, Jimmy Olsen was never meant to be capable or tough or bad. If Jimmy Olsen ever did some shit right, it was like, hey, good for you, Jim. Yo, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
So their attempt at cooling up Jimmy Olsen a little bit, that shit falls so flat.
I agree. They did that a lot in the comics.
Yeah.
But particularly in the later movies.
Yeah.
Later movie, the only one where he shows up.
Right.
As a CIA agent or some shit. Like, okay.
What the fuck? That was, that felt like, I'm Secret Service agent, fucking, oh shit, not Huckleberry Finn, but I'm Tom Sawyer in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Fucking Jesus.
Yeah. That one was the wait, what?
Terrible.
How old?
Yeah, I'm sure that was a great idea about line three of your bag of Coke.
But yeah, but
fucking terrible execution,
mm-hmm,
particularly for that comic. That's a separate thing.
But doing that, it's like, wait, why does that have to be Jimmy Olsen?
Right. I don't know.
That makes no sense. Why that character needs to be Jimmy? That is that character's name ever said on screen? No.
No.
Then it's what, not fucking Jimmy Olsen.
The speculation of Ginny for Man of Steel being Ginny Olsen. Okay. Like, I didn't know that. I heard about that later and thought that sounds like so many fat redheaded people in wheelchairs writing things.
Right. But here's something that I'll say too. Had they done that, so long as she was played right,
I don't give a fuck.
But that's the problem. It's so long as they played her
right. Yeah, I don't care about that.
They didn't.
My point is, they didn't do anything. If that was supposed to be Jenny Olsen, she didn't do shit except get trapped under a girder.
Yeah, which is a very Olsen move.
That's true.
That is vintage fucking Olsen right there.
Yeah. I fell in a well, Cal.
Hold on, let me go stop Armageddon so I can pull your bitch ass out of a well.
Yeah, so the first movie set the template for Superman being, look at him, look at what he's doing.
Yeah.
And because
the second one showed what a piece of shit he was.
Absolutely. The who he really is.
Yeah.
My argument is, that's who Superman really
hot dog stealing,
is. Speak about
bullying
his,
bitch.
His fucking, his, what makes him Demi.
Yeah.
That. You are all God and all human, sir. Much like Jeebus. He, because of the casting of Gene Hackman as Luthor,
mm-hmm,
instead of going, they make Luthor just a criminal genius rather than a genius that does criminal things.
Yes.
Which are two different things. I love it. I think it's cool as shit. I wouldn't change it now.
They definitely, you can see the influence of the Adam West Batman on what they did with Lex Luthor.
Very much. And it's the brains versus brawn. And that line is just a kind of a throwaway line. But because of that, it sort of set Superman up to be, he's strong, yes, he's this, yes, he's that, but he's not as smart as some of these criminal guys. That gets its ass kicked straight up its throat with All-Star Superman and many other versions of Superman, which they have never touched. They haven't even come close to. They haven't bothered with it.
Yeah.
And they don't bother with it for a myriad of reasons, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
But it follows all the way through until the last version of Superman with Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like, well, he's not quite as sharp as whomever.
And that just never
ridiculous.
Made sense to me. Yeah.
If his body is a nuclear fucking engine, his brain would be too.
Yeah.
Right?
The cells in your body. Right.
Which they do, which they cover. And again, the comics are always the material to go to for the things you don't see on film.
Yes.
But we're not talking about comics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, they have a front-loaded Superman with everyone just stops and look at what he does.
Yeah.
Right? To the point to where they have that awkward scene in Superman Returns where she saves Lois, has the famous car scene from the first comic,
yeah,
and nays, everyone's silent.
Uh-huh.
And Superman returns.
Yeah.
Everyone. This is an established world where Superman has been with us for a long time, and uh-huh, everyone is dumb silent watching him fly a car, pick up a car and fly away.
Yeah. Like
that, yeah, was one of the scenes I saw when I saw Return to the first time. And of course I had stars in my eyes because I had seen Superman in so long.
Oh yeah.
But that scene, I felt like my unconscious brain went, excuse me, I'll take a note. Bring here my mental Evernote.
Uh-huh.
This does not compute. Don't know why. We'll dig in later.
Right.
The more I thought about it, the more like this is completely. That shows you that the director doesn't has an idea in his head about Superman is, and it's not who he really is,
mm-hmm,
and certainly not this world. If it was Man of Steel, where everyone is, you know, sees him for the first time, of course,
yeah,
you would be dumbfounded,
mm-hmm,
by that, but not this. Anyway,
yeah. Get ahead of myself. And that does, yeah. It's weird because, again, how do you move with the guy? Because basically with a lot of the early Superman shit, it's like, well, what will neutralize him so that he doesn't have his powers and now has to deal with that? Like,
of course. Of course.
That's interesting because that's what you have to do with Superman.
That's what they've done with Superman.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the it feels like what you have to do with Superman because of the way we've been doing the stories. But it's like, no, there is.
Yeah. And I guess I can't really describe what I'm trying to say by saving what I want to say later. So I'm just going to say it now.
Right.
So we can color the whole thing with my statement of how I look at these things.
Okay.
I believe, because even though he's the first superhero, but he's very different than any other superhero, because ultimately, Superman is dad. He is a good dad. He's a good protector, if nothing else. And a primary role of a father is protector.
Yes.
And since no one can protect like him on the planet or beyond, he makes himself sort of de facto Earth dad.
Right.
So the longer the planet gets used to him being there, the more he should, in other words, his goodness and selflessness should inspire others to do the same in their lives, where they can't, obviously, with power.
Right.
Because he can't be everywhere all at once.
Mm-hmm.
If he inspires enough good people to be better, to take care of their little parts of the world, then he doesn't have to be there all the time.
Right.
Right. Appeal to their better natures, a little bit like what I would argue, one of the best scenes I've seen in any Batman cinema, the last third of The Batman,
mm-hmm,
particularly in the rescue scenes where they're following him out of the dark. Darkness is leading people out of the dark. It's a fucking
beautiful,
beautiful scene because that's the difference between a vigilante like Frank Castle and Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Two different things. He's inspiring others to help.
Yeah.
To be better for everyone else, not just for yourself, but for everyone, for others.
Yes, let's raise the tides for all of us.
But how do you tell that story,
right?
How do you tell a story of dad? Well, just like I said earlier, you have to have an ensemble that is meaningful and can deliver to back up that story. Some villain will have to find a way to neutralize him, which will take out his ability to be super protector, but in the meantime, if he's inspired the other people around him, then they can help him.
Yeah.
Like Tessbacher taking him out of the water in Superman 1. It's a great scene because it appeals to her goodness that I can't do this to this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not right. Plus, Lex just blew up my mother in Hackensack, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
My mother lives in Hackensack. Looks down at his watch. That kind of thing.
That's what my favorite of the How It Should Have Ended cartoons was, how Superman the movie should have ended. It's like, even you with your great speed can't catch them both. I'm sorry, what? Even you with your great speed. Hold on a sec. Boom! And then he lands holding
both of them.
Are these the missiles you're talking
still
about?
Still firing.
Yeah, they're still. I was just flying around the earth. These are the only ones that saw, but they can't possibly be the missiles you're talking about, because I'm not fast enough to catch them both, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the element. It was like, no, he'd catch them both.
I agree. And that sort of, in my mind, this story neutralizes the problem you hear a lot of. You can't write for Superman. He's too powerful.
Right.
You can.
Yeah.
You just have to write a story around Superman and not focus just on Superman.
Yeah. You have to write a story that Superman is part of that's not just about Superman's powers.
Right. And in my head, in order to tell that story would be a very different way of approaching how these movies are made.
Right.
And again, as Jim can testify to this, I've always said he needs to be an established world where Superman is a norm in our not commonplace, but he is part of our world. He's an established, integrated part of our world, and our world operates as it does with this being among us.
Yeah.
And in the first probably 20 minutes of whatever I would write, it would just be talks about that. People talking about it, headlines, things going on, people at a coffee shop, it's on a TV or in an airport, and people are still going about their lives.
Yes.
No one's just stopping and looking at Superman pick up the fucking, you know, oil tanker that almost capsized.
Yeah.
It's happening, and it's just like...
And if anyone is, they're a tourist.
Right. It's like the war in Ukraine. It's happening. Yep. It's awful or whatever, but no one is like, holy shit, the war in Ukraine.
But it's got to be like, they have to react to it the way New Yorkers react to a homeless person masturbating.
Correct. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, just... Yeah, like in our world, it's like, oh my fucking God. But in New York, it's like, okay, yeah, that's happening again. Okay.
Right.
That's okay, cool.
They touch on a bit of it in Batman vs. Superman, where they have the whole talking head sequences.
Yeah.
Where everyone's discussing the weight of this creature, I mean, this being among us and whatever. And thing that he's doing super things as they discuss it.
Right.
And that's a bit of what it would be.
Yeah.
But because if he's already in a world that knows him and trusts him.
Yes.
That's key. Because we don't have to deal with this constant trope of, can he be trusted? Which side are you on? What happens if you're too powerful? Who controls you? And then he has to tell the general, look, motherfucker, you can't.
Yeah.
Let's not deal with that.
Yeah.
It's more of a collection of interesting ideas that they want to do to Superman rather than the overall arc of he is this.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for you?
Yep.
As a person living with him rather than living around him.
Yeah.
In awe of him. Right.
It's one of the, God, I just came up with a great thing that would never make it into Superman's eye. Where it's like, well, what if you change? What if God decided he didn't like you? What could you do about that? Well, nothing. There's your fucking answer. So,
in fact, you're still here. It's fine.
Yeah. So and don't worry about it.
You, in order to, and see, this is where Hollywood would be like, where's the razzmatazz, man?
Yeah.
If you can have an idea of Lex, which I don't know necessarily if this has been covered in comics. It may have been. It may be where I just got it through osmosis. But Lex isn't, in my mind, someone who is mustache twirling for a land grab like Gene Hackman or
Kevin Spacey.
It's none of that shit. It's more of a philosophical difference of, in my film, Lex would be arguing to you, he'd be running for office and running on the platform of using Kryptonian tech to help the world, right? Why don't you share your technology with us? Your technology could feed millions that are starving.
You could save the world.
You could save the world by sharing your technology, but you won't because you want to stay in your fortress of solitude alone and you dictate who's saved and who dies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in reality, Lex is doing it for his own benefit, which would be, you know, unveiled at some point. But that would be, I think, an interesting idea of ideas because slowly you would find out Superman actually is already released technology.
Uh-huh.
He's already...
It's like it's done small in small
as humanity can take it because of people like you, Lex, right?
Your why.
Right. Yeah. You're why I'm doing this because you're not alone.
Yeah.
As I inspire good people, you inspire other people that are selfish and don't care about other people. Don't care about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a little too fucking heady for a comic book movie, but I think it's a cool fucking idea
because it's touched on
in All-Star, which is easily one of the best Superman stories in a long time because Superman is completely at home with his powers and he's on a clock. I don't know if you've read it.
I have not.
Spoilers.
Okay, go ahead.
It starts off with Superman flying. They're experimenting with the limits of his ability.
Okay.
And he decides that he's flying closer to the sun than he's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because of that super saturation of radiation.
Is this where we get prime?
Or
is
that No. Right. That's yeah. a whole other thing.
Yeah.
He develops, I think, two other powers, and he's become supercharged with obvious
radiation. Yeah.
So what he already had is quadrupled,
mm-hmm.
along with his mind, which was already huge because of Superman's length on Earth being exposed to radiation. That's
right.
Something they don't touch on either
yeah.
in the movies. Zod comes down and, oh, I can do this too. Not
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
It's more important because he's been here this long.
Yeah.
His cells have drank all this.
Exactly.
But whatever. You can't have Zod just jumping high.
Yeah, exactly.
Or could you?
You could.
Not if you're Zack Snyder. So,
right.
Along with this, because of that supersaturation of radiation, it's also going to kill him.
Ah.
So he only has a certain amount of time left. So he develops... Yeah, the Fortress of Solitude has, you know, a key that only he can lift, and
right.
the key's right in front of the door,
uh-huh.
right? That kind of cool little shit.
Yeah.
The inside of it has the Titanic, a giant shit from all the comics and stuff.
Right.
Kryptonian tech that, like, the robots that help him
uh-huh.
in his fortress, things are working on different experiments to help the planet. All it's just, it's the fucking Willy Wonka factory of good ideas.
Yeah.
Being shepherded along by God, a yeah. benevolent God, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's fucking great, and he's super smart, and he's also super calm
uh-huh.
all uh-huh. the time. He develops a formula for Lois to have powers for 24 hours because he wants her to experience what he experiences so she can understand him more,
uh-huh.
which is fantastic
yeah.
because he wants Lois to really understand.
Right.
In only a way, if it were a human being, you'd want your partner to completely understand you.
Exactly, yeah.
It's the only way he can make that happen.
Uh-huh.
So even if he makes her a suit, it's great. It's romantic. It's beautiful. Well, guess who gets their fucking hands on that formula?
Oh, Lex.
Lex, right? Many things happen, but the overall arc for the support of my thesis is Lex gets his powers and is ready to whoop on Cal's ass, and at one moment he's walking through the air and freezes, and his eyes start looking off. He's thinking about what he hears and how he hears it. Then he starts to comprehend things like different energy spectrums.
Uh-huh.
All the while, Lois is like, what the hell's going to happen? And Cal's like, it's okay.
Just give him a
second. Give him a second. He's comprehending the enormity of the universe. And Lex, to his credit, looks at Superman like, this is how you see everything. This is what you see and hear all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has a change of heart to what he wants to do because he's affected on a primary level.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just, well, my land deal.
Yeah.
No, you know, no.
Yeah.
My thirst for power has completely changed because now he sees
what
really is.
Yeah.
And the enormity and the responsibility that comes with that. And mm-hmm. all of that in the hands of someone that could turn it on anyone, anywhere, with horrible cost, but is only kept in check by wanting to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was raised to do good.
Yeah.
The fact that that is the only thing keeping a sun god from burning on everyone with his fucking eyes
uh-huh.
is speaks to the point of the other characters are just as important,
yeah.
if not more important.
Yeah.
Why killing off Jonathan Kent is not always the greatest idea
yeah.
in the world, just for that dramatic moment.
Yeah.
In Birthright, he's alive.
Yeah.
And he's alive and shepherds Clark through many difficult times before he can become who he's meant to be.
Yeah.
And again, Birthright's probably the best origin story because it gives you, his mom's like really into UFOs and shit and aliens. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, because she knows we aren't alone.
Yeah.
My son, well, right?
It's weird when you look at this. I watched, and this will make sense. I watched this pretty cool video essay from a thing called Waiting in the Wings about the history of Greece.
Mm.
It was like, it originally was set in Chicago. All these things were really referenced. It was this way, this way, this way. This happened here. It was a little harder with this and that. Well, then it moved to this place. Then it moved to Broadway, where it was right. changed to this location and this and this and this changed. Then this changed here. That Sandy had never gone to prom until the movie.
Oh, wow.
That had never been part of the story. There's all the, like, the Danny and Sandy story was never the lead part of it.
Really?
It was a story, but it was never, like, the overarching driving force. But once the movie gets made, that locks in with, oh, this is what Grease is. And now people are, Jonathan Kent has to die. Nope. We have to see this. We like, no, you don't.
You really don't.
There's a million different ways this goes. You're looking at something that is still trying to remake the first one.
Yeah, and that is, despite the enjoyment I have of many of these iterations of Superman, it speaks to an overall, people clearly don't think about this shit as much as I do.
Right.
But, and that's whatever. I could be fucking wrong. I could see a producer, somebody laying out this very similar treatment. It's not fucking Eureka groundbreaking shit here. I'm just saying this probably been pitched and said, well, where's all the slam bam? You know, buddy?
Yeah.
As he shakes his ponytail past his coat collar. But the fact that James Gunn, who I enjoy, is making another Superman to focus on a younger one tells me, I know at least for a fact, he hasn't considered this.
Right.
Because with Superman, with Cavill, he had been Superman for at least 7 years.
Right.
So by the time he got to his cameo in fucking Black Adam, the live video put up on YouTube of people watching that in the theater when it happened, you could hear kids that have grown up with Cavill as their Superman.
Yeah.
Were like, yeah, screaming in the theater, because now this established Superman, we've already gone through all this shit, we've been through certain things with him.
Yeah,
he's there. He's older than you because you're a kid.
Yep.
By default, right? Remember when 30 seemed fucking old?
Mm-hmm.
So there he is, super dad.
Yeah.
And he's established himself as that despite all of the fucking missed opportunities and weird choices that Zach made with the character.
Yeah.
He's still there. He's established.
Yeah.
Tell that he got it now. You've covered all that ground.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to retcon something, retcon it.
Yeah.
We live in a time where people won't give a shit about it. It would be way more forgiving by retconning things than they would be in 1989.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right? So just, there's your boy.
Yeah.
Keep him and tell the story that we're trying to say, which is bigger and more important than, wow, look what he can do.
Yeah. And the only reason that I, like, all that I'm hoping is, don't give us origin. I'm okay.
He said it's not.
Good. I'm okay with him being young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a fucking origin. It's cool if it's him figuring shit out and then we're able to evolve like this.
Right.
But, man, yeah, we're at a point where we could start doing that, especially now that Marvel has kind of gotten... No, you can normalize superheroes in that world.
Yeah, you can. Where you folks, should.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what Clark is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fucking template for normalizing.
Yeah.
Him drinking beer, watching a football game at his mom's house.
Yeah.
And shit goes off.
Like, hold on. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's who he's raised like that.
Yeah.
He's not raised as a demigod. He's raised as a human boy in Kansas.
Yep.
I'm from Kansas, General.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he is.
Yeah.
And he wants that. And he does all these things so everyone can have their normal lives as much as possible.
Right.
And inspire other people to do that. But that gets missed, and I know it's not an origin story. I know they're using a younger actor. I just don't know why we have to go back to this.
Right.
But maybe it's great. I'll love it. I'm sure I'll love it. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, it's weird the breadth of what can still be done with Superman. I mean, like, the Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher one was good. It wasn't great. It was fine. But that showed, it can be sort of goofy and fun.
Yeah, you can have fun with it.
Yeah, you can make it goofy. You can be silly with it. There is a possibility
for that. Of course, of course.
But I think what the issue is I think you're right in that they are so locked into the physical that they aren't really willing to go anywhere else with it.
No, there's just a bigger... There's a bigger story to tell with all of that.
Yeah.
There's that. You have to have all that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the wider story is... he's an inspiration to mankind.
Yes.
They talk about it all the fucking time in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
They talk about it. They talk about it.
They have some conversations.
You know, Jor-El's like, someday you will, and it's fucking great in the trailer, someday you will, they will follow you into the sun. It's fucking great shit, but it's never, we don't get there.
Yeah.
Apparently Zach's original idea was we would get there.
Right.
We would go from a series of Cal and muted blue and red to finally getting to his fully formed primary colored hero self once he got there. Granted, you only got so much time.
Right.
And unfortunately, my theory is his idea of Superman, Batman, all of it was poisoned by Watchmen.
Yeah.
Not because Watchmen was bad. In fact, it was sort of a miracle that was got made the way, as good as it was.
Yeah. Yes.
But because of that story and how it comes off, he tried to apply that same lens to Superman.
Yeah.
Because no one thought he could pull off Watchmen. He pulled it off-ish.
Yeah.
And then the studio, being the studio, is like, hey, you know what people like? Yellow. You know,
make
so.
Yellow, yep.
Do that with Superman, Zach. We love it. Okay, well, I'm going to do this. He had some fucking goofy-ass ideas about what he wanted to do. Like, ultimately, like his story bible? What? Huh? Lois and, I mean, Wonder Woman and Batman get together, and then they kill Lois? Like, wait a minute, dude. Slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down.
It feels, basically, I think what we've come to is a sort of idea is no one has been willing to take any substantive risks with Superman.
No.
And it's partly because it has become too fucking big.
Yes.
And in
The whole operation behind making a film this expensive has to be as, frankly, as broad as possible, I guess.
Yep.
To have the sort of reaction you have with Man of Steel, to where people were, this is a Superman for UFC fans who drink Monster. I'm like, well, I'll do both. So, yeah, there are parts of it I loved, but it was a reaction to Superman Returns where he doesn't do fuck all.
Yeah.
Except stalk his ex.
Stalk an ex.
And have a kid. And the kid thing was the only interesting part of it because it was something new.
Yes.
Like the scenes in Superman Returns where Superman is, they think, dying or at least seriously hurt.
Right.
And his suit is folded up. Mm-hmm. They can't do anything to his body except leave him laying there.
Yeah.
And his son comes by and touches the boots.
Yeah.
That's great shit.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen it before.
Yep.
But they abandoned that.
Nope.
They touch on that with Superman and Lois, the TV show.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Where, because of their use of the Infinite Earths thing,
yes.
Apparently Cal and Lois were on a planet where he didn't have power, or a world where they didn't have powers, a version of the world.
Yeah.
So they were able to have two sons. And then when the worlds all synced, become Earth Prime, which is all this taking place on.
Uh-huh.
Now he has powers again, but he has kids. So what do you do? And the episodes that I've seen, he handles it pretty well.
Right.
Like, that's an interesting idea to deal with family and all the people that now, when he reveals himself as Superman this last season, people that he had to deal with. Lana.
Yeah.
Lana is fucked up with it. Like, I didn't know you're Superman. That explains everything, but why didn't you come back for me? They were in love in high school.
Uh-huh.
These are interesting, bigger ideas than, you know, punching a bad guy through a wall.
Exactly.
Or stopping a bank robber with bullets or whatever.
We've gotten to a point where the physical's not, it's just not impressive.
It's not impressive, but it can be made impressive if the story has stakes.
Yes.
And you give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because if you can ground Superman in a wife with, he has a wife, a job, and two children, a home.
Yeah.
People watching it on the screen can reflect that back into their lives much more than they can, I'm really fucking angry and I'm going to float in the sky with red eyes. Now, I love him floating in the sky with red eyes.
Who doesn't?
But I also know there's nothing I can relate to that in my life other
than,
man, if I were angry,
my
eyes wouldn't glow. But I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't care. It's sort of just candy where a steak could be served.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
Yeah, it is such an odd character that has, again, if they were able to do it at a budget that would allow them to do something interesting with it, it would be great, but it just...
It's not going to happen.
The money that they're dealing with on it, ugh, no. Man.
Yeah, this is an idea of this sort of... Not heady, but headier than than punching in the sky.
Exactly.
Is going to happen. Now, am I also guilty of thinking peace on earth? Not thinking. I consider it Superman's greatest comic.
Mm.
I do, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
Peace on Earth is perfect.
Right.
Mark Waid. I mean, not Mark Waid. Ross, the artist. Alan Ross. It's just Superman has enough and is like, I'm going to do my best to tamp out war as much as I can. I know I can't change human condition,
right.
But I'm going to do my level best
to stop
to
war.
Bring peace on Earth. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful story that I know for a fact will never get turned into a film because it's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Not a... Wow!
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
And wow is what sells tickets.
Exactly.
But increasingly so, it may not be.
Yeah. We are, I think more than anything, we are reaching such a fucking break point.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Because, good Lord, Marvel fatigue is here.
Did we talk about me seeing Guardians and Quadrophenia? Whatever it is, Quantumania.
Oh, no, we haven't talked. I don't know if we've talked Quantumania, but we have talked...
Guardians.
Guardians, yeah. I've seen Quantumania, but I haven't seen Guardians. So, yeah, Quantumania.
That's a piece of shit. I think we talked about it briefly because I remember talking about Majors and his...
Yeah.
His, what are you doing in this?
Yeah, this...
your abilities.
We've now reached a point where the Marvel films that are coming out are basically movie the movie. Motion picture, the movie.
You fucking nailed it.
Yeah. It's, boy, this is hitting all the beats and, and Kang lost to ants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
I don't give a fuck.
No. And I saw that right after watching Guardians 3.
So bad.
Which, Guardians 3 is pretty thin story-wise. I mean, it's pretty
basic.
A to B to C.
Right.
But it has a shit ton of heart, and Gunn's unique ability or unique blend of humor and heart is, it's everywhere to be seen. It's big dick swinging as far as that kind of stuff happens. It's good. Nice. It's fine. It's good. It's good. It's fucking better than 2, which I know is an easy jump.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
There you have it. But fucking Quantumania was dog shit.
So bad.
I don't even know what the fuck I watched.
Yeah. There's so many movies that have felt that way to me lately.
There's
where
a
it's
lot.
Like
yeah.
Fucking Black Adam, Shazam.
Oh yeah.
All
I haven't watched Shazam, I can't bring myself to. I just can't.
It is the motion picture.
Yeah, like, yeah, I figured.
Okay.
I mean I think they took their heart was in the right place with Shazam.
Yeah.
Because of all the superhero stories, it lends itself most to being a children's movie
because
Billy's a fucking kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be, it should almost be big with powers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Which they fucking were like, great idea, and ignored completely.
Yeah.
But, and it's very golden age-ish.
Yeah.
It should be sort of, it should actually be a period piece and probably sell a lot better.
Oh, hell yeah.
But that never fucking happened because money, baby.
Yeah, and if you are making, because at its heart, what it needs to be is, children playing with superpowers.
Correct. Yes.
That's what that whole thing is. It is children playing with superpowers.
They nail the end of Shazam with the family aspect.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the best parts of, if, no, it is the best part of Shazam.
Yeah.
Is
they do,
family.
They do go into that in the second one. It's just not a very good movie.
Yeah. Well, you have that, and then you have the whatever the fuck Black Adam was.
Yeah.
Which, action-wise, is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Justice Society is a great fucking idea because it's established, and we're not going to go into why it's established and its history and blah, blah, blah. It just is.
It's just there, yeah.
Dr. Fate's great because Pierce Brosnan's... Who doesn't want to see Pierce Brosnan? It's fucking Dr. Fate. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And we kill that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why, man?
why do you do this, DC? Why do you go and build the greatest knife in the history of the world to slit your own throat over and over?
A badass Hawkman.
Fucking crushing Hawkman.
That motherfucking, that guy's face was so per, that look, shit.
Yeah.
Every bit of this is on point.
His style, his house, his, mm-hmm. oh, fuck it.
His demeanor.
Just.
Everything.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you had made that Hawkman movie by itself, we are talking about a hit.
Fuck yes.
Fuck off. Boffo, if you don't believe
box
Boffo,
office.
Boffo, baby.
Yeah.
That was good shit, but it's so, but it's such a quote unquote darker, serious movie compared to Shazam. These two creatures can't exist.
Yeah.
Black Adam's going to melt that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I didn't write this. You wrote it like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the whole, the anti-hero character, making Black Adam into an anti-hero versus just like they did with Venom, because he got too popular.
Yep.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm too old for Venom to have got its hooks in me, so
yeah,
forgive me.
Yeah.
There are plenty of Venom fans. They all apparently live in San Antonio.
Oh, God, yes.
But I never gave two fucks, and I own Web of Spider-Man number one.
Yeah.
The physical copy. So I don't,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Black costume's cool.
Yeah.
Where's the story?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But don't know.
It feels like it is just, it's one of those properties that when you can get it in an area that you can actually play with it, is fun as hell.
You would think it would lend itself more to a series, but increasingly, because of course it lends itself to a series, it's a fucking comic. It should be a series.
Yes.
That's half the problem with superhero movies, is trying to cram all of these highlight reel moments.
Mm-hmm.
Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
The entire film is that.
Yeah.
Except for moments of greatness. It's just, how many fucking cool ideas can we smash together?
Yeah.
Apparently all of them.
Have you watched Jupiter's Legacy on Netflix? Mm. It's very good. It is. It handles a lot more things like this and family. And you have the original people who went on this difficult quest to earn their superpowers. And the and then what the fuck are their kids like? And how do those kids grow up with these powers they were given? And the we do not, well, basically the whole thing is we don't kill. They're in that we don't kill.
Right.
In the first episode, this bad guy is about to kill the dad, and the son fucking punches his head off.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, whoa. What? And the dad is like, no, you fucking don't do that.
Right.
You find another way. But, and that becomes this whole thing of, at what point is it where it's really goddamn good?
What is it called?
Jupiter's Legacy. It's got Josh Duhamel in it. It's based off of a, I think, is it a Mark Millar? Or it's based off of a comic that I think is a Mark Millar. And it was one that was did good enough to get a second season, but they were like, nope.
Hmm.
But I think you'll like it because of the way it explores shit like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's, at the end of the day, that's all you've got with these stories. And don't tell me I'm wrong, because Spider-Man stories are all about that.
Yeah.
His responsibility. Mm-hmm. The bigger themes than just, I got spider powers.
Yeah, what does that mean on a personal level to have that?
Exactly. What's the weight of that in the character? And it can't just be him beaten down by life.
Yeah.
That's not what a hero does.
It's like they were talking about, I was watching a thing about, what was it? The Isaac Asimov thing that just came out.
Oh, the Foundation?
Foundation. And this person who pointed out everything about the way the show is done is wrong and misses the point of Isaac Asimov's writing. And there's like a moment where they put this mask on a person, and it is like a skin-tight metal thing that clamps right on. Like, no, Asimov would have written a book about the implications of that piece of technology alone.
Right.
Superman needs to have moments where there are episodes that just deal with, the morality of, oh, no, I hear people die all the time.
Yes. Yes.
I hear deaths. I hear rapes. I hear abuse that I can't do anything about.
Right. And yet he doesn't let that beat him down. He didn't beat the hope out of him.
And that is what makes him different than every other character.
Yeah.
That's what makes him
Superman.
Superman, and the dichotomy to Batman.
Yes.
Who essentially is revenge.
Yeah.
Revenge, revenge, revenge. Yeah.
And Batman is one of those, if he could hear every crime, would fucking beat himself up to try and stop all of them.
He's already insane. We've talked about this.
Yep, yep.
Bruce Wayne is ill.
Yes.
Yep. Mentally ill. Bless him for it.
Yep.
But Superman is not.
He's not, yeah.
And he's not corruptible, and he is not so oppressed by the evil in the world that he doesn't believe good can't be.
Right.
He understands that both are there. It's sort of a pagan worldview of all these things are life. What can I do to help and accentuate the good, even though I will never be able to get rid of the bad? It's bigger themes, but that is how you write a Superman that is a fucking sun god. And the fact you make, the more powerful you make him, the bigger those ideas can be, and the more of that story you can tell.
Yeah.
Because he is a part of us.
Yeah.
Not us looking at him.
Yeah.
That's why he's not God. Right. He's with us.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I think we are getting into the, I think we've hit sort of that difficulty of it is he has to be a God among us.
Right.
You know, what if God was one of us?
Right. And that
just is, a slob.
Just a slob. Like one of us.
Just a stranger on the bus.
Right.
God, that fucking song. Oh.
It's not good.
God damn. But yeah, it's Superman is a challenging character, and it is that shit where the commerce is fucking it.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy. Yeah. Like I got a script fucking printed out of my house. I don't.
No. But there's a thought. There's an idea.
There's an idea there that could tell I don't know.
Yeah.
Spielberg would like it, god damn it.
He's contemplating the size. Yeah. And getting like, oh yeah. Yo, so not only is Superman having to deal with all the crimes he could stop here, but also all the shit out there he could. Oh yeah, wow. Yeah,
it's a lot.
But, it's a lot. And I do like that thing that was never really explored where, oh, he doesn't hit here and all of a sudden he's got all the power. That radiation has to work for a while. Yes, you're stronger. Yes, but you ain't gonna have the heat vision and the hearing and the all of that.
Yeah, that like, was one of those things that occurred to me, and I don't know if that's ever been talked about in the comic.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's why Superman is stronger than other Kryptonians, right? I feel like a writer's room would look at me and go, yeah, maybe.
If getting closer to the sun and making him absorb more makes him more powerful, then by default, absorbing more over time should have the same effect.
Correct. In my head. But yeah, again,
but hey, what
I'm a mark.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
What I loved is when I said, when I started that, of all the things you thought I was going to say,
that wasn't even anywhere
on the list. There was nowhere on the list where you're going to get a...
I thought if you started with a Razor Ramon promo,
and I'm going to carve you up, man.
Yep. Yep. Thanks for listening, and we will see you when we see you.
Bye-bye.
Malice.